Hello everyone! What wonderful weather we've been having over these last couple of weeks. Sometimes I'm thinking that we're getting summer and fall and we got fall at the end of our summer, but hey, better late than never as they say, right? I'll stop jibber-jabbering and let's get into our daily news. With CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits, and I am your host, Taylor McClure. On today's episode, I chat with Heidi and Matt, educators at Knowlton Academy, all about Knowlton Academy's Secret Garden and Greenhouse project and officially having it incorporated into the curriculum this year. The Knowlton Academy Secret Garden project was started 7 years ago and has only continued to sprout bigger and better things along the way. We catch up with Heidi and Matt on the Secret Garden and Greenhouse project and what this project will look like moving forward now that it's being incorporated into the classroom. The project committee held its first Fall Harvest Festival on Wednesday since before the pandemic, where we got all the details.
So Heidi and Matt, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with CIDI about the Knowlton Academy Secret Garden and Greenhouse Project. I really appreciate both of your time.
Oh, thank you.
Now, as I mentioned, we are here today to discuss the Knowlton Academy Secret Garden and Greenhouse Project and how this project has grown over the years to now become immersed in the curriculum here at KA. So I've covered the garden project a few times in the past, but it's been a couple of years, so I'd have to say I'm a little bit out of the loop as to what's been going on behind the scenes here. So I didn't know if one of you wanted to start off by maybe just highlighting how far the garden project has come over these last couple of years.
Well, we started out a little over 7 years ago. It was Shelley Meisner's vision to come up with a curriculum, a garden-based program, and from there she enlisted a bunch of people who were super interested, myself included, and I moved over from Waterloo School to be a part of this, particularly because of the garden. And we had small clubs at lunch under the support of Jen Ruggins-Muir and Jen Harrison as well over the years, and it's sort of been growing with class participation until this year, where we've transitioned from just club and participation-based program to it being class science-based daily program.
So when did the committee of this project, of this wonderful garden project, decide that the garden needed to become a consistent part of the everyday lives of students here at KA? Like you mentioned, I know that teachers and educators at Knowlton Academy always try to get their students out here and try to, you know, incorporate it in some ways into what they were teaching in the classroom. But like you said, it's going further now and it's actually becoming a part of the classroom. So when did this all come into play, these types of discussions?
Over the last couple of years, staff have kind of said, listen, we want to be more involved in the garden, but we don't know how to incorporate it into our day-to-day because of the expectations within the classroom, within a homeroom scenario, and they wanted a little more out of the program from the garden. So they decided that we needed somebody who was teacher that would help run it as such so that it could be science-based and curriculum oriented.
And that's when you and Matt came in?
Yeah.
Did you want to add anything to that, Matt? No, you're just going to let Heidi do all the talking today. So now that it's becoming science-based and curriculum-based, maybe Matt, you can provide us some examples as to how this will play out in the classroom in terms of the activities or assignments that students can partake in that are related to the garden.
Yeah. So right now we just finished our seed unit. So right now we're trying to get students in the garden. We were harvesting vegetables and anything that was growing, even nasturtiums. We're eating flowers and getting students familiar with what was growing over the summer. We had the salamanders that were involved this summer maintaining and using the garden, which is wonderful. So it was used all throughout the season. But students right now are focusing on the seed production and how seeds are made. And now we're getting into pollination and also into seed saving.
Okay, so it's really incorporated into the science classes here at the 100%, school.
100%, yeah. So I run the early year science program, which is grade 1 and 2. And Matt runs 3 to secondary 1 in terms of science classes. We've been doing the life cycle of plants and of seeds. At the younger grades, we've been doing pumpkins and apples and exploring their favorite colors and so on. And then Matt takes it to the next level with his science knowledge base and his history of plants, and he's been wonderful down in the garden taking it to the next level as far as I'm concerned, teaching the kids about the history of corn and all sorts of things that you've been sharing with the kids that it's really rich.
I think the both what we're trying to do, though, is use the garden and try to get students involved in hands-on activities so that they understand really that not just what they're learning in the classroom, but actually applying it into the garden.
A lot of, it's actually easier for a lot of students to kind of learn that way too, being more hands-on. It's kind of it's something that a lot of schools are exploring, getting kids more out of the classroom. And yeah.
Outside. Spending more time outside is our goal. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that was a great leeway to my next question. I wanted to ask why the committee of the project thought this was an important next step with the garden project. There was a lot of talk about food security as well, so I didn't know if that was something else that was taken into consideration when doing all of this.
A little bit. I think one of the goals that I have for students when they graduate from here is to be able to garden themselves, to see the different styles of gardening that you can do, to understand how the harvesting process goes, even the seed saving to a little higher level. But just so they understand it, they can be competent gardeners eventually if they decide to later down the line. But even just having class in the garden, like we'll have a regular classroom, but or do it outside, and they really enjoy that. And it's kind of calming for them. It's nice.
I didn't know if you wanted to add anything to that, Heidi.
Well, I think it's really important. I got into gardening with students years ago at West, and what I learned is that a lot of kids, prior to being brought into the garden, if you ask them where their food comes from, they'll tell you it comes from the grocery store. And I think about 20 years ago, I decided that that's not the answer that I was hoping for from children, and that it was important for them to experience the life cycle of plants and to be able to enjoy the seed to table concept. So yeah, that's really what our goal is now, is to get them in on a regular basis so that they can plant their seeds in the spring, take care of them, get salamander in over the summer to enjoy it, and then now in the fall to enjoy the harvest and cooking. So we've been spending the last 3 weeks in the kitchen with the kids, having a good old time.
It helps to develop a lot of life skills as well. Definitely. Now, you just held your second harvest festival today, the first since COVID arrived, and it was a great turnout. I seeing all the kids happy was such a wonderful experience. So I didn't know if you had any other upcoming events or activities with students that you would like to highlight that you think might be of interest to our community to hear about a little bit more.
Well, I think our next goal in terms of garden is in the late fall, early winter, we're talking about doing some pickling, and Matt's been working on making apple cider vinegar with his students. So more of the pickling and so on. And then in the spring, my ambition, and we're crossing our fingers and toes, I love strawberries, and I'd really like to initiate a strawberry festival in the spring, early summer, before school lets out, so the kids can enjoy a second type of harvest festival.
Did you want to add anything to that, Matt?
Yeah, so another thing that we have going is we've used garlic as a fundraiser before, and now we've kind of ramped it up, so we have 12 kilograms of garlic coming in. And we're going to sort of planning for next year to use that as another fundraiser. And then also we're hopefully going to be getting a beehive that's going to be off school property, but within a 2-minute walk, and getting students observing beehives and understanding the pollination process, and hopefully getting a bee club happening, and then using that as another fundraiser and making honey.
Wow. So it's just going to, you're just going to keep expanding it.
100%. Yeah. We're really excited about the direction that this program is taking.
And something that I'm curious about, and I know a lot of people in the community are curious about because they hear about this project, but they have yet to have the chance to actually be involved in the project. So what I'm curious about, and I know we've spoken about it before, Heidi, but I was just wondering if eventually you hope to have other events like this in the future that will bring the general public into the Secret Garden Project a little bit more as well, and have them discover a little bit about what you're doing.
100%. In fact, the first thing I think we're hoping to do in the next short while is change the name. We don't want it to be secret anymore. We want it to be community-based. So that's our first big step. I'm the art teacher here at school, and one of my next ambitions in terms of community-based involvement is to create bowls with our pottery program. And I'd like to be able to create soup that we then serve out of our bowls and invite community members in to enjoy the concept of, you know, the stone soup story.
Yeah.
A lot of my art program is based in literacy, so that's something that we want to do. And I think as our program grows, we'd like the community at large to be more involved. We were a little trepidatious this year because it's been a number of years since we've done this. So we wanted to try it back on for size before we opened it full circle. But I think Matt and I are both on the same page when we say that we would certainly love to see members at large join us for our next picnic. Mm-hmm. But stay tuned for that one.
And just like to add on to Heidi, the idea, just like Heidi's saying, is like we're getting our feet on the ground right now, but to get more community members working with kids in the garden is our overall goal for the years to come.
So it becomes a not just a school project, an entire community project. Well, those are all the questions that I had for you both. I really just wanted to get some information as to what's going on here at KA with this wonderful project. I didn't know if there was anything else that either of you would like to mention that you think would be important to make people aware of.
I think we want to have an open door policy moving into the future. So we're hoping to post some hours where the garden will be open for people to come and peruse and enjoy and weed and feel grounded. So stay tuned for that. We want to extend our thanks to Jen Muir, who's invested years of her time and energy and life force into this beautiful garden. It wouldn't be at all what it is without Jen Muir, so we're very grateful to her. And we hope to see all of you out here with us, hopefully in the spring and summer months, enjoying our beautiful garden here at KA.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.